Glad to see everyone back this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, be turning with me over to the book of Revelation. We're going to be continuing in there tonight, although we're not going to be looking at another letter. We're going to be looking at a different subject from Revelation chapter 1. And a statement that is made here by Jesus as he is revealing this special revelation unto John. Notice with me in verse 8, the statement that Jesus makes here. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, we read there, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." We're going to break that statement down in a couple of other statements that we see in the book of Revelation. But as we look at this tonight, I want that first phrase to stick with us. That phrase that Jesus stated there, "I am Alpha and Omega." If we know anything about the Greek alphabet, for one thing, Greek is the language of the New Testament. And so it's fitting here that when Jesus would identify letters, they would be those of the Greek alphabet. And he uses the first letter, Alpha or Alpha, as we most commonly pronounce it, and Omega, the beginning of the alphabet and the very end of the alphabet. In the Greek language. And so as we are familiar with some of those Greek letters today, commonly seen and used in math, we're commonly used to in math, pi, as we refer to it, p in the Greek language, and by social clubs. But Jesus isn't teaching math here, is he? He's not talking about social clubs either. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega." What does he mean by that statement? As we look at the book and Revelation chapter 1 as well as other verses in the book, we have similar and expanded information concerning that. Notice with me chapter 1, 17 and 18. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Turn with me over to chapter 21. Chapter 21, notice with me verse 6. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Now notice one chapter over, verse 13. Chapter 22 and verse 13. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Again and again and again, we see Jesus using this phrase. "I am Alpha and Omega." As we break this down and as we study this, and since Jesus used the Greek alphabet to use as an illustration here, I think it would be fitting for us to use the first five letters of our alphabet, to help us remember what Jesus was teaching. So if you're taking notes, we're going to be using points A, B, C, and D. Number one, what we see when Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," he spoke of, number one, authority. Our A is for authority. Notice the end of verse 8 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, the end of verse 8, he uses a word there that expresses his authority. He says, I am the Lord, saith the Lord, which was, and which is to come," the last phrase, "the Almighty." The Almighty. Friends, there's really no other word that we could use to sum that up, is it? The Almighty. He is showing beyond a shadow of a doubt his authority. Friends, if we combine the power mentioned here with Jesus' statement of power in Matthew 28 and verse 18, there can be no doubt of the picture that Jesus is painting for us here, of his authority. Matthew 28 and verse 18, he comes to his disciples and he says what? "All power, all authority is given unto me," where? "In heaven and on earth." Who has the authority? Jesus Christ. When he says, I am Alpha and Omega, he is stating his authority. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice with me beginning in verse 20. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 20, we read, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Friends, when we read that, what do we read? We end at verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What do we read of there? We read of his authority. His dominion over all. Who has the authority? Jesus Christ. So how do we make application here? How does this apply to us, friends? Let's ask a question here. Are we standing on the solid ground of Jesus Christ's authority? We're familiar with the parable that Jesus gives of the wise and foolish man. Who was standing upon solid ground? The wise man, because he built his house where? Upon the rock. We learn who the rock is, do we not? Jesus Christ. Matthew 16. Peter answers the great question, who do ye say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Son of God. And so Jesus said he's going to build his house upon this rock. That is the confession that Peter made. He's going to build it upon himself. So friends, are we standing upon the solid ground of Christ's authority? Are we going to be compared? Are we going to be likened unto the wise man, as Jesus says? Or friends, if we build our house somewhere else, we'll be likened unto the foolish man? Where do we stand even now? Are we standing upon the authority of God's Word? Friends, I can talk till I'm blue in the face tonight, and really, you know what it comes down to? It doesn't come down to what I have to say about anything, does it? It doesn't come down to what any man has to say about anything. But what does the Word of God have to say? We look at His authority and none other. And so when Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, he spoke, number one, of his authority. Number two, when he says, I am Alpha and Omega, he spoke of beginnings. Our B is beginnings. Notice with me again, chapter 22 and verse 13 of Revelation. Jesus again says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The first and the last. Alpha, first letter of the Greek alphabet, right? He says, I am the beginning. I am first. So when he says, I am Alpha, he speaks of beginnings. When we look at Jesus, we see him from the very beginning, do we not? Jesus was there in the beginning. From the beginning of time, starting at creation. But he didn't start there. He was there at the beginning. Jesus was eternal, is eternal. John starts his gospel account in that way, doesn't he? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We go on and we read there in the next few verses that without Jesus being there, without the Word being there, nothing was made that was made. He was from the very beginning. He was before the beginning. So when we think of that, of Jesus being there, friends, what is Jesus saying to us? I am the beginning. I am Alpha. I am the first. Friends, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do we have? We've got a new beginning. We've got a new beginning, a fresh start, if you will.
In the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus says, "Ye must be born again." You've got to start over. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul writing there says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." He's got a fresh start. He starts over. "Old things are passed away," Paul says. "Behold, all things are become new." Fresh start. A new beginning. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. How do we get to that new beginning? How does that start? Notice what Paul says to the Romans, beginning in verse 3. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father," don't miss the last part, Even so we also should walk in newness of life." Friends, we, you and I, can have a new beginning. When we are baptized for remission of our sins, friends, we're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. We come in contact with His blood there, and so from that point forward, we're no longer the same man. Some time back, I believe I used the illustration before. The story has been told of a man that was abusive to his wife. Never harmed the child that they had together, but he was abusive to his wife. And finally, his wife had enough, and she went back and started moved back in with mom and dad. The man fell into a tailspin. Didn't know what to do. Began to drink heavily. Finally, he finally hit the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. Began to look for an answer. And he found the gospel of Jesus Christ. He studied and he studied. He obeyed the gospel. And finally, after being a Christian for about 6 months, about a year and a half had now passed, he goes and he knocks upon his father-in-law's door. Father-in-law answers the door and he looks at the young man and he says, "Son, you've got some nerve coming here. I know what you've done to my daughter and it's not going to happen anymore. Get off my property." The man's response was rather shocking to his father-in-law because he said, "Sir, that wasn't me." "Son, what do you mean that wasn't you? You were the one that stood up there at the altar and promised to protect my daughter for the rest of her life. You're the one that made those vows. What do you mean that wasn't you?" He simply said, "Sir, that wasn't me." You see, I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer that man. The end of the story, he and his wife get back together because he was a new man. He was able to start fresh. He had a new beginning. Friends, even if we find ourselves having already obeyed the gospel, we can still have a new beginning when we need it, can't we? 1 John 1 and verse 7. "For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." And so if we find there, friend, if we have fault, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, our sins are still forgiven. We have a new beginning. So our question concerning the beginnings, friend, is, are you a new creature? Do you need to begin again living for Him?
When Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, he spoke of authority. He spoke of beginnings. And friends, number three, he spoke of completion. Again, chapter 22 and verse 13, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. Jesus, in a loud and clear fashion here, is saying, I am all that matters. I am A to Z. We use that phrase sometimes, don't we? Everything we need, we have A to Z. We don't need anything else. That's a signal of completion. Jesus says, I am A to Z. I am the summation, the revelation of the mystery, the answer to any question that matters. I am Alpha and Omega. He is completion. Any question that we may have, friends, we can turn to His Word for the answer. Any question of life. And Jesus says, you'll be complete in me. There's no other way but by Him. Concerning completion, friends, we sing the song sometimes, and can we honestly sing it? Can we honestly sing, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. And if we can't sing that song with honesty of heart, friends, then we've got some changes that need to be made. We talked about over the last couple of weeks in our Bible class hour here in the auditorium concerning the Christ-centered life. Is Christ the center of your life? If He's not, friends, He ought to be. When Jesus spoke of Alpha and Omega, He spoke of completion. Number four, when He says, I am Alpha and Omega, He says, I am deity. Deity. We talked about that for a little while this morning in our Bible class, didn't we? And it's hard for us to comprehend that here was a person that while he was 100% man, he had all those infirmities. He had to worry about disease. He had to worry about sickness. He had to worry about death. He wept when his best friend died. We know that he felt emotion. We know that he felt pain. We know that he bled. He was 100% man. But friends, just because he was 100% man didn't make him any less God. He was also 100% deity. He was the Son of God. The Old Testament speaks of the Father in this way. When Moses said, who am I to tell the people sent me? God's simple response was, I am. I am that I am. Don't need any other explanation. By stating that, God says, I am God. I am. He has been and will always be. There's never been a time that He did not exist. And friends, there is conclusive proof that Jesus was God in the flesh. Again, we go back to John chapter 1. We learn of the Word, first of all, don't we? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We go down to verse 14. What do we read? The Word became flesh. Became man. Now, if the Word was God, and the Word became God in the flesh, is He still God? Absolutely. He's deity. So when Jesus says, I am, He says, I'm deity. Friends, if I reject or I disobey Christ, and maybe this will hit home with us. When I reject or I disobey Christ, friends, I disobey the Father. I disobey God, period. His deity. And when Jesus says at the beginning of verse 8, I am, here's our E. He speaks of eternity. In the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 58, he makes a statement there that would turn many of the Pharisees and other Jews against him. Because they realize the implication of this statement. He says there, before Abraham was, I am. He point blank told the Pharisees to their face, I am God. I have always been. I am. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to notice with me verse 8 to begin. We read there beginning in verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. O scepter, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Drop down to verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Friends, of whom is this speaking? Talking of the Son. Go back to verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the time past to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. The Hebrews writer in verse 8 and verses 10 through 12, they're speaking of Jesus Christ. He laid the foundations of the world. What does that indicate, that He was there before the foundation of the world? He's eternal. Concerning that point, let me ask this question. Are you prepared for eternity? Three times in Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says, I come quickly. Now, friends, don't mistake that. He's not talking about when, is he? 2,000 years has never been considered a quick time. But rather, he speaks of the manner in which he comes. He's going to come swiftly. When he comes, there's not going to be a second chance. All of our second chances will have come to an end. And so, friends, if I'm not prepared right now for eternity, we don't know if there's going to be another chance to get prepared, is there? Or do we? We may never see the sun rise on Monday morning. Sun's still up. We may never see the sunset tonight. Are you ready for eternity? Let's put away our Bibles. Take out our song books. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. We spent most of our time dealing with the phrase, I am Alpha. When we speak of a wolf pack, we talk of an alpha male, the leader of that pack. Let's not forget the Omega. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Friends, think of it like this. Jesus created, the Word created the world, this earth on which we live, and He's going to bring an end to it. When that day is, we have no idea. It might be tonight. It could be tomorrow. Friends, it may be another 2,000 years. We don't know. The point is, we're not promised tomorrow. The end may be in the next 30 seconds. And so the decision that we make in the next couple of minutes could affect us for all eternity. And so we want to talk about preparing for the end. Omega. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. I want you to listen closely as you've already put your Bibles up. Listen to what Peter says here. Peter says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." What's the house of God, friends? That's the church. It's going to begin with us. Begin with Christians. And if it first began at us, what's the question that Peter asked? Notice this. "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" What's the answer to that question? They will be eternally lost. And friends, if you find yourself in that lost state tonight, don't you spurn the invitation. Don't you grip that pew so hard that your knuckles become white. I've seen people do that. You respond. You obey His gospel and you prepare yourself as if today were your last day. Because for all you and I know, my friend, it might be. And we need to live each day accordingly. Are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, if you've never obeyed, don't put it off any longer. Obey it tonight. Jesus is the beginning and the end. It begins with Him. It ends with Him. He is all that matters. And He's given us the answers on how we might live with Him for eternity if we will but obey. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That He is who He said that He is? That He bled and died for your sins? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water, so that your sins will be washed away? As the song goes, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Friends, would you have your sins washed away tonight? It may be, my friend, that you're here this evening having done all those things necessary to obey the gospel at one point in time, but you've fallen away. You have failed to walk in the light as He is in the light. Would you come home? Would you walk in the light once more? Friends, don't fail to make preparation even now. If you have a need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?